Now that is your classic Smokey. And every time Chris Norman from Smokey is on the show, obviously he's plugging a new single, EP or album, and he's still making great music. But I, for one, Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I love those Smokey tracks. They are, to me, they're just about perfect. I'm sure you listen back to them and think, oh, if only I'd done it differently, or if only we'd put a drum there, or whatever, because you're so close to it. But tell me you still love those old Smokey tracks, please.
I do love them because they're part of the history and heritage of what, you know, of my career, really. And I still play them. You know, I still play them on tour, and I play them every night. I play a lot of other songs as well, but I play most of the Smokey stuff because people still want to hear them. And, you know, when you play them all the time for years and years and years, you get to know them inside out. And I don't listen to them anymore because I just play them all the time instead, you know. And I'm doing a UK tour coming up, which is why I'm here talking to you today.
Yeah, 8th of June.
I'll be playing them on that. Yeah, 8th of June.
You're at the Paul Lighthouse. Is it a big tour? Is it a long tour? I mean, I'd like to see you in Southampton. I'd like to see you in Portsmouth. I'd like to see you on the Isle of Wight. I'd like to see you in Winchester and Salisbury. We've got one local date. Is it something that could be extended?
We hope to extend it later, but I'm doing other stuff before. I'm in Poland. I've just been to Russia. I've got other stuff as well. And I'm doing 13 shows starting May the 9th, I think it is, through to somewhere just after the one in Poole, I think 11th I finish, and then we see what happens towards the back end of the year. Maybe I can come back and do some more in September or October, around that sort of time. So, but the main thing is, you know, it's a long time since I played in the UK, and I've got the band, a working band that works all the time. We're always touring and stuff, so they're always ready for playing everywhere. And I'd like to bring the show that I'm doing everywhere else and bring it into the UK and play for a UK audience for a change.
Do you think, I mean, obviously what a lot of people listening won't realise is that you were absolutely massive in other markets, particularly places like Germany. Do you feel that maybe Chris Norman or Chris Norman of Smokey has kind of slipped off the radar a little bit in Britain?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid it's my own fault to a certain extent, because I've been concentrating on doing stuff in other countries. And I think the longer you leave it, the more people sort of are reluctant to sort of try it out and see what happens. So I'd like to change that. I want to come and have the same kind of audiences in my own home country as I do in other countries. And if I can achieve that, then I can come back time and time again and keep, you know, work here a lot. But I have to sort of show people this is what we do. I know that once people come and see the show, that they'll enjoy themselves, they'll have a good night, and then hopefully by word of mouth it'll get, you know, spread, and I can come and do it a lot more often. But yeah, I have to really reestablish myself, I think.
Are you nervous? I mean, I'd imagine the Paul Lighthouse is, I think they have about 1,500 people in the capacity at the Paul Lighthouse. Are you thinking, oh, I really should have started again with 500-seaters? Or are you thinking, nah, this is going to be fine? Or are you nervous about it?
Well, you know, it's not, it, with a thing like this, it's not really down to me. It's down to the people who are promoting it to see what they can do, what they want to do, what they want, they think they can do. If they get it wrong, you know, then obviously it'll be not great from my point of view, or theirs for that matter. But we've only just started to promote it really this week, and so I'm hoping that once we do and people get to know that I'm coming, and the posters say Chris Norman, original voice of Smokey, so the people can remember who it is that's coming. I hope that more people will turn out and come and see it. Obviously, I know that they're going to have a great time if they do. But yes, of course, I'm a bit nervous because it's something, you know, that I'm doing for the first time for ages. So it could all go horribly wrong. But hopefully, there'll be enough people there to sort of appreciate it, and then it'll spread and get bigger, as I say.
Well, I just urge anyone to go along because, I mean, I've known you for a long time, and your voice has just got better and better and better. And the hits, the great thing about the Smokey tracks, I mean, your solo stuff stands out on its own. The great thing about the Smokey tracks is they still sound fantastic. They've hardly dated. You know, when you think of some stuff from the 70s and 80s, it has really dated. They're just great 3-minute pop songs, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean that's what they were. That's they were good pop songs too. They were recorded well because you know the Mike Chapman produced them, and he was a good producer. Went on to produce all kinds of other people: Exile, The Knack, Blondie. You know, he was a great producer. So the sound of those records stands up as well. You know. You hear records from a certain era and you think, well, it sounds a bit dated or it's not very well recorded. The Smoggy records are well recorded, I think, because the people involved in that side of it knew what they were doing, you know. For me, I'm proud of those Smoggy times and those records we made. I think there were some great songs, some great records, and I think that they do stand up, and that's why I keep doing them on tour and everything.
Well, look, we kicked off with one of my favourites, Lay Back in the Arms of Someone from 1977. Your favourite Smokey hit?
Well, I always have to say the first one, because for me, that if you're thinking about How to Love Me, it's hard to say, but it's easy to sing. That was like the whole thing for me, you know. It was the changing of everything, because we'd been a working band, as you know, for years before that, and played up and down the country under different names, and had like three or four record singles out under the name of Kindness, which didn't do anything, and then that came out, that If You're Thinking Out of Love Me, with the new name of Smokey, and became a big hit and went to number three in the charts, and it changed everything, you know. And I remember still the feeling of hearing it on the radio and driving out on a Sunday afternoon on Pick of the Pops and hearing it coming on, you know, with Alan Freeman saying, and number three, and coming on with the If You're Thinking Out of Love Me introduction. And I still can remember the feeling that gave me. And as I say, it changed everything, because after that, we started having more and more and more hits, and we travelled the world, and my life changed. So that song always sort of marks that occasion for me.
If You Think You Know How to Love Me, and I didn't introduce it like Alan Freeman, but what I could do for you, Chris Norman, is...
The Story of Pop.
There you are. There's a little bit of fluff for you.
That's great.
Now, one thing I was pretty impressed with was, you know, that got to number three. Okay, so let's play Greatest Hits. Where did Don't Play Your Rock and Roll to Me get to in the UK, Chris?
Number eight, I think.
It did, number eight. Okay, next one up. Something's Been Making Me Blue. I remember seeing this on Supersonic on ITV. Where did that get to?
Oh, that wasn't so big. I think it was number 19.
Number 17, not bad. 17. Still in the top 20. Okay, I'll Meet You at Midnight from September 76. Chris, where did that get to?
12.
Just outside the top 10, number 11. One place better than you thought. Okay, Living Next Door to Alice. Now, I always thought this was at number 2 in the charts, but it never got to number 2. Where did it get to?
Number 5.
It did get to number 5. Have you got some app open there? Okay, Lay Back in the Arms of Someone. We kicked the interview off with that one. Another massive hit for Smokey. Where did it get to, Chris?
10, maybe.
Number 12. It's Your Life, Summer 1977.
Number 5.
It did. Wow, and you had hits in so many territories. How did you keep up with it? Needles and Pins, a cover, got to...
Number 5.
Number 10. A few dollars more...
Oh, I don't think that was such a big... Was it in the 20? Maybe 21?
17. Number 17, you were in the 20. Oh, Carol, of course, hit the top 5, got to number 5. Mexican Girl hit the top 20. Where did that get to?
Oh, I don't know. 17, number 19. 18.
We won't mention your cover of Don't Take Good Care of My Baby, because that only got to number 34. But hit after hit after hit. And I think what that shows is they were all massive songs on the radios and just selling by the truckload.
Yeah, they were. It was great. The funny thing is, you know, you say about me remembering the chart positions. It is difficult, because I do know chart positions in other parts of the world too, of certain songs. And a lot of those songs that we've just been talking that were that sort of number were a lot higher in other countries. And I don't know what it was. In Germany, we talked about Germany. You know, all those Alice, Lay Back in the Arms of Someone, they all got a number one. Mexican Girl was number one. You know, I Meet at Midnight was number 6, I think. They were all much higher chart positions in Germany and in Holland and Israel and Australia and lots of places. We were having loads of number ones, but we didn't actually have one number one in the UK, which was always a big disappointment to us.
I think that maybe the music critics thought that Smokey were a bit lightweight, but you listen to the tracks, they sound fantastic. Your voice is, I've always loved your voice. Do you feel a little bit of resentment to, or did you feel a little bit of resentment to the press because they saw you as a lightweight pop band?
Quite honestly, yes, we did. We weren't a lightweight pop band. We were a real band that had played around doing gigs from everything you can think of, rock and roll gigs to ballrooms to dance halls to everything and every kind of music before we made it. So by the time we started to play, we were a good tight rock and roll band, you know. We weren't lightweight. We wrote good songs ourselves as well as the ones that we've mentioned now. We also had good songs on the albums. The albums were always good quality. But we didn't actually get that recognition in the UK. We were considered to be like more of a lightweight pop band, but we didn't have that image in other countries. And it was sort of frustrating for us a little bit because we felt like we were kind of an English version of somebody like the Eagles, like that. And the music press didn't see us that way at all. But that's kind of where we were, I think, really.
I think the thing is, in those days, of course, there were album bands and single bands. And if you're on top of the pop, so, I mean, look at Les Gray and Mudd. I mean, they made great records and they had brilliant harmonies in that band. Mm. And you look at Sweet and you listen to a Sweet B-side, they were a serious rock band. But you kind of all, I suppose because you were top of the pops bands.
I think there was a snobbery. There was a snobbery. It's funny because there was a snobbery between, me mentioned Sweet. Sweet were a great, well, all those groups you just mentioned, Mudd were a fantastic live band too. But Sweet were very much in a frustrated sort of rock band. They wanted to be like a Deep Purple or something. And that's the B-sides were like Deep Purple. And playing live, they were as good and that kind of a thing. But because they got kind of almost stigmatized by having hit singles, whereas Deep Purple didn't, there was a snob thing where Deep Purple were cool, Sweet were uncool. And now people don't know that because it's not, you know, I see people quite often see bands like Uriah Heep or Deep Purple in airport lounges and stuff, and we all chat around as if we're all the same. But in those days, there was a kind of them and us. There was the rock bands and the pop bands, you know. And basically, it was just a slight turn in the road which made one group one way and one group another way, because we were all playing live bands before the hits.
The crazy thing now, Chris, is if you watch Action or Lies in Your Eyes or Love Is Like Oxygen by The Sweet on YouTube, and you see it with fresh eyes as a youngster, it's just a great rock band. If you watch Smokey doing If You're Thinking How to Love Me or Lay Back in the Arms of Someone, it's just a great band wearing a lot of denim doing a brilliant song that could have been an Eagles song.
I think that's it, you know. And I think, like I say, you start off by thinking that's where you're going to go, and then because you have hit pop singles, and sometimes I think things like Living Next Door to Alice with us made us seem to be a bit lightweight because it was a sing-along sort of poppy song and everything. And now it's what everybody remembers, you know.
But now, when you sing when you sing it on stage, tell me people don't sing back the Roy Chubby Brown chorus to you.
Well, they don't when I play it, because people know me and they know that it's nothing to do with me, that. So they don't in the places where I'm, you know, where I do tours and everything. Mm. I don't know if they will when I do the UK. They might. And I don't, you know, some people when they do that, they would get them all, what is it? You know, now everybody's saying, I just ignore it. If they want to do it, if they do it in certain places and they do it, like if I play at a festival somewhere, like in Germany, for instance, where it's just not my audience, but just a general audience and they're all been drinking beer all day, then they're generally going to sing that bit. I don't say, don't sing that bit, ooh, you know. I don't do anything. I just continue and sing the song. But I don't also go, when and then what comes next, you know. I don't do that either. So we'll see. I don't mind if people want to sing and have a good time, you know. The end of the day, shows and concerts are really for the audience to enjoy themselves, and hopefully they come and enjoy themselves no matter what it is.
Well, I urge anybody to go and see Chris Norman. He's a great act. You will love his solo. popular stuff. He's had massive hits all around the world in recent years. And those smoky songs, this is the original man, the original face doing those songs. And that's not happened in the UK for ages. So grab a ticket. It's the 8th of June at the Poole Lighthouse. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. You know I'm a big fan.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's been great to talk to you again.
Sally called when she got the word.